This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different topics. We are 9 days away from Christmas in the midst of the holiday season. Just enough to make you shudder. Sarah McGregor of Feeding Umpqua in here this afternoon. And wanted to talk about what your nonprofit is doing, especially around the holiday season, but in general as well. What are you seeing during this holiday season?
Well, Kyle, thank you so much, first of all, for having me. At Feeding Umpqua, which is a program of UCAN, right now we're just really seeing really high number of people that are out seeking food assistance. And this is really the time of year when a lot of people like to give to the Emergency Food Network. So a lot of food drives are going on and a lot of people trying to get involved, but just really high need happening in the community.
Now, we've talked before about the need really continuing to go up. Is that what it's been like the last few months?
Yeah, it just continues to grow. I actually pulled some numbers for you right before I stepped out the door. And last year in November, we served about 11,000 people, plus over 5,000 got hot meals at one of the shelter and kitchen sites. And November of this year, it was 14,000 people and over 6,000 people were getting those hot meals. So just in a year, just that dramatic, like 3,000 more individuals seeking food assistance.
Wow. Well, it's been a tough year for a lot of people, whether it's inflation, whether it's some job cuts in different places. A lot of people are impacted. Explain for people, if they're not as familiar with Feeding Umpqua, about what you do specifically and then how the food that you get is distributed.
Yeah, so we are the regional food bank for all of Douglas County. So what that means is essentially we are the distribution center for emergency food. So we get food from a lot of different places. Like we get food that comes in from the USDA. We get food that's from statewide, local, and national food drives. We have purchased food. And we get a lot of that through our partnership with Oregon Food Bank and Feeding America. And then we bring all that food to our warehouse and we sort and store it. And then we distribute it to our partner network. So we work with 16 emergency food pantries across the county, so representing communities all the way from Drane Young Collet to Glendale, Diamond Lake to Reedsport. And then we also work with a network of community kitchens and shelter programs. And then we also provide food assistance to some just programs that have like clients that live on site that kind of meet our criteria. And then they're able to provide food to those clients as well.
Now, Feeding Umpqua years ago had a different name, but how long has the program been in place?
So since the 80s, some of the first things that people think about, those kind of the creation of food banks, was sort of the commodity cheese program. So the USDA started distributing cheese, and organizations just tried to figure out how to do that. And so there wasn't really a food bank. It was like, the CAP agency, UCAN, just like, what do we do with this? And from that grew a whole network and a whole system to help support people that weren't able to make ends meet and get their food needs met.
And it's obviously evolved over time. What about funding? Where do you get the money to pay for like some of the food that you purchase?
So food that we purchase comes from a lot of different places. We get some funding from the federal government to purchase food. We also get donations to purchase food. And then we get some funding from the state of Oregon. Generally, our program is funded in a lot of different ways. Similar to those, we get a small amount of federal funding. We get some state funding. And then a large part of our funding actually comes from donations that we get from the community every year.
And this is like, almost seems like a circus to some extent. You're like juggling.
Oh, we're definitely juggling at the food bank. We have multiple staff that are in there moving food around, creating orders. And so we're kind of running this large warehouse distribution center and have a lot of intentionality and focus on compliance and making sure everything is done really food safe, really done well, really meeting the needs of our client base, and then also spend a great deal of time doing a lot of fundraising.
And is there times when you look around at the amount of food in the warehouse and get a little nervous?
Oh, absolutely. I think there was some news stories about that last month. Really, we went to organize things and set them up for our monthly inventory. We count everything every month in the warehouse. And when we organized, we consolidated, and one of our large racks was almost completely empty. And that represents probably, in just like a ballpark estimate, of probably like 25 to 30 rack spaces or pallet spaces that were not filled that usually are.
Wow. And at the same time, while you have that empty space, I'm sure the people that you work with at these different food pantries, et cetera, and kitchens, they weren't slowing down.
No, absolutely. It's been a real challenging time because the amount of people that are seeking food, it just keeps growing. Like I shared, you know, in a year, 3,000 more people in this month. And that's been just happening every month, just more and more people coming, where I think I was sharing with someone recently that in the last 2 years, we've seen like 60% growth in number of people seeking food assistance. But our resources have not changed. We have the same amount of resources, the same amount of food, and in some ways, even less, because just sort of like shifts and changes in the food system. So we're sort of at this real critical moment where we have less resources, but more people need it. And so less people are getting less.
And any idea how many pounds of food you've gone through so far this year?
So I just pulled this too. It looks like we've distributed 1.7 million pounds already this year. And we'll continue to distribute quite heavily through the end of the calendar year.
Wow. And that is probably a big uptick from last year.
Actually, it's pretty much the same. So that's what I'm saying is unfortunate, is like same amount of food, many more people getting that food assistance.
Wow. So does that mean people get less food each time?
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, it does. And I've talked to many pantries who they've had to. So a lot of times in food pantries, they'll set up what are called limits. And so they'll say, okay, so this family of four, you can have this many of this kind of product. Like maybe you can have a bag of flour once a month. You can have like four different kinds of canned vegetables, things like that. And they're having to shrink the amount that they're giving to families because there just isn't the food resources to support all the people that need assistance.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what type of food are we talking about?
So the food bank distributes a whole variety of food. So we have what people sort of like typically think of when they think of food banking. So there's, you know, canned vegetables, there's dried beans, there's flour, there's shelf-stable milk, things like that. So all the dry food, everything that fills your pantry. In addition, we also distribute a lot of produce. Like right now, we have a lot of oranges, we have apples, we have onions, we have potatoes, we have pears. Carrots, celery, leeks sometimes. So just getting a lot of produce in and getting that out into the community too. We have a lot of abundant produce often. The Oregon Food Bank Network, which is the group of 21 regional food banks in Oregon and Southwest Washington, we've really prioritized that we want to bring in more produce into our system so people have access to more healthy, fresh food. And then we do frozen foods. We do frozen meat and distribute that as well.
Well, and the part of this as well is the healthy aspect of not just giving people overly processed, you know, food that is, yeah, it's cheaper, but it's not the healthiest.
And I'd say that in general, the food bank really works mostly in staples. So we don't provide a lot of things that are heavily processed. We might occasionally distribute something that's, you know, going to make things easier, like mac and cheese. But by and large, it's like straight pasta, straight beans, straight vegetables in a can, straight meat in a can. And then people really have to use that to create food.
How much do you, because of this comes from so many different sources, how much or how often do you get people bringing food to your location?
People donate food to us every day. So almost every day of the week, we're open and available for donations Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4. But we also have a drop box that people can drop off when we're not there. And almost every single Monday we come in and it has canned food in it and people have stopped by and dropped off food. So people should not hesitate. If people want to donate to us, we can take any sort of shelf stable items all the time. We take food from people's gardens. We can't accept, you know, meat from people or things that are refrigerated generally because we can't assure that they're food safe. But we get food from people's gardens all the time. And all that sort of food drive food.
All right, Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua. More in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1 o'clock. Jeremy Grammett of Roseburg Dream Center will be on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua right now talking about their work and the increasing need for food around the area. Now, you work with the food pantries, and along the way with the help of technology, sounds like you've got a pretty high-tech system.
Well, we do have an online ordering system, so all of the food pantries we work with, like the Dream Center, who will be here tomorrow, every month we give them a set amount of food based on what percentage of the county they're serving every month. With those statistics, like I said, 14,000 people came, but typically about like 23% of that go to the Fish of Roseburg. And so we'll give them like 23% of all the food we're going to give out in a month. And then we also have like a web-based ordering system. So every week they can come back and they can order fresh produce and get bread and then also pick up some shelf-stable items that we make available for them as well.
So then when you guys have the food, then the pantries come and pick it up from you, Ken?
They do, yeah. So we have a really busy schedule, like Monday through Thursday, starting at like 8 a.m. is our first appointment, and usually until about 2:30 in the afternoon. We have agencies coming almost every half hour.
And then what about other ways that you distribute food? I remember something about a mobile food truck or something.
Yeah, so we run a mobile food pantry, and it visits some of the outlying communities in Douglas County that don't have food pantries situated in that community and also don't have grocery stores, so they're kind of considered food deserts. So that's Camas Valley, Days Creek, Diamond Lake, and Elkton. Additionally, we also send that mobile pantry out to serve two different migrant farm worker communities who are a little more reticent to sometimes come in and seek assistance at different places, either because people don't speak their language or because, you know, they're afraid that there'll be some sort of punishment around that related to their immigration status. So those are some of the ways. We also do free produce distributions. So we've been doing that with the Department of Human Services for over 2 years now, where we go and take produce, and then just anyone in the county can come and get produce that happens to see us there. And we're working on trying to create a partnership with the college to do some of that there too.
Wow. So a lot going on. I'm sure you have a giant staff to help with all this.
No. No. There are 6 of us in total, and 2 of them are part-time. So it really is just that everyone works really high level of efficiency and works really hard because we really could use more staff, but we just don't have the resources for it. We do have some fantastic volunteers. We have like 3 regular volunteers who help us every single week in the warehouse. So Will, Gail, and Ivor, they're awesome. Thank you guys. And then we have volunteers who help on the mobile pantry as well.
And what kinds of things can the volunteers do?
So, like, for example, Will comes in and he boxes up all the bread. So we get bread from, like, Orwheat and Bembo, and it just comes on their bread racks. And so he'll put it in boxes so we can distribute it more effectively. Gail drives the forklift, and he unloads our truck from Oregon Food Bank. And our staff, our supervisor for the warehouse, is certified to train people in the forklift. So that's kind of a great skill if people wanted to acquire it to come volunteer. And then Ivor goes out on our truck that picks up from retail grocery stores every day. Additionally, we have people that box, you know, and sort food drive. I mean, we have a group from In-N-Out coming tomorrow to help with that, and the college comes out and helps with that as well. Boxing up food drive, boxing up produce, helping us keep that big warehouse clean. And then helping with fundraising too. Like, so we need people to help us do follow-up calls, help with mailings, do social media. There's a lot of really different opportunities, and I think it's a really fun team to work with.
So if somebody's got some extra time every week or periodically, they can mm-hmm. connect with you and figure out how to help.
Absolutely. Yeah, we really welcome that. And UCAN has information on their website, ucancap.org, about how to get involved with volunteering and the volunteer application. And then that can get like sent over to my department, and then we can connect and find a good place for you.
Yeah, the mobile food truck, I was just thinking about that while you were kind of explaining that. And for people that are in the very much outlying areas, that's got to be tough if things are tight. The last thing you can afford is an extra drive into Roseburg yeah. for about anything other than maybe your job or whatever you might be doing or a medical reason or something. To access food, that's got to be pretty well received to have that mobile food truck out there periodically.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I think you really nailed it. That was kind of the premise of us going there was, you know, just taking away one more barrier that people were having to face in getting healthy food and being able to meet their family's needs. Like, they don't have to drive. We come where they are, more or less. And then they can just show up and it's like a free grocery store. It's out. It's like laid out that way where they come on and they shop. They can look at the different shelves, choose what they want for their family. We always bring a bunch of produce and just trying to like provide people with that food resource and give them a great deal of dignity while they're getting their family's needs met. And you're right. Like they are so grateful. They're so grateful for that resource. And we're so glad to be able to continue to serve those communities.
You've been doing this for several years. How have things evolved?
Well, when I think some of the changes in the food bank is that you know, like I talked about with sort of that web-based ordering system, we've really had a philosophical shift at the warehouse. Like for a really long time, I feel like we were really centering like our work and like how challenging it was and like what we were doing on the day-to-day versus centering like the people that we are servicing. And so we've really had a big shift around that and just like sort of our values and our mentality in the food bank and making the clients that come and receive food assistance at all of the locations across the county is like really what we try to focus on. It's like this getting them the best service possible. Are they going to have what they need to walk away with when they leave a food pantry? How are we partnered with food pantries in this work where we're aligned around our values and vision for a hunger-free community? And so that's some of the big changes. The programming is a big change, like doing things like our own food pantry. We never had a food pantry. And so I think in a lot of ways that's helped with our partnership with the food pantries because we know what it's like to run a food pantry, where before we really didn't. We were sort of this separate outside entity. And now it's we walk the same walk that they do. And I think that has built more credibility and it's strengthened our partnerships. And then, you know, like just trying to figure out like what are the gaps in the services in this community and really see ourselves as someone who sort of drives that work of looking at the gaps and trying to fulfill those gaps.
And if I am correct, a lot of these food pantries are largely, if not in some cases, totally volunteer driven.
That is absolutely true. So many of them just have volunteer staff and they're like totally volunteer centered. Some of them have some staff positions or they might pay for their manager or director. And I'm seeing more and more of that, which I think is a good thing that organizations are starting to really recognize the value of that work because it is very hard work to run a food pantry. And I am incredibly humbled and just really value the people that we get the opportunity to work with in this field.
Well, and it's a daily need and it's, you know, probably hard to get away from sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fundamental human need. Everybody needs to eat. And I think that's why doing this work and people supporting our work, I think that's why it resonates with so many people and why people give. And right now, like we have our holiday fundraiser, which people can access through our social media page, which is, you know, facebook.com/feedingumqua. And also putting that, because we've been putting that out there and people just, they want to support this work. They get it. Like no, everyone knows what it's like to feel hungry. I mean, not everyone knows what it's like to be truly hungry. But I think just even having that baseline level of empathy has really brought a lot of support for us and for the network.
And then remembering that while people are particularly generous during the holiday, this need's not going to go away in January and February.
It is definitely not. That's not what we've been seeing in the trend lines around food assistance. And so hopefully people can get involved. If you haven't been involved with us before, this is a great time to join us and then to stick with the work.
All right.
This long term.
All right. Sarah McGregor, Feeding Umpqua. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle, so much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.